Young people, one of the prime ages for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you are young, because when you're young, you don't analyze everything. You're more willing to accept what the preacher says when you're young, but when you get older, you get, I don't know about that. And I understand that. We are not to be drinking Kool-Aid, being led down the pathway that is not right. That's why the Word of God is so important. It is. It keeps perimeter on what we're doing. And I come up with something in my head. I said, that's me saying that. La, 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 la. That's me doing that. But I'm not letting my sister know. Because she's doing the same thing I know she is. And as sincere as a seven-year-old can be, I said, Lord God, give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then after a few minutes, I got up and we were walking around back, as kids do, and I said, did you get it? I don't know. Did you get it? Well, did you get it? Well, did Dad get it? And that is the way it was brought to this 7 years old. I wasn't sure whether I had it or not. Had him is the term, the baptism of him, the Holy Spirit. Because I was convinced that I'd heard stories of how people were, I'd even read, just like in Acts 2:4, they were sitting there, all of a sudden, whoo, winds of fire, winds come, images on top of the heads as though they were separate fire. None of that happened to me. And I stayed in a Pentecostal church all those years, went to a Pentecostal seminary, and when I went before the board to be stamped, they said, tell me this, what do you believe is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I said, there are many evidences. No! If you can't say that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence, you're in the wrong denomination. How many of you know I wanted a job? And I didn't really know the truth from the non-truth. I tried my best. You're 19, 20 years old. You're trying your best. I said, okay. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to the unbeliever and enters him. To the believer, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers that individual beyond an initial state. How many arguments, how much warfare has gone on between denominations over this very fact, this very perspective. I'm so tired of hearing people in Pentecostal circles. Am I being recorded? We'll talk afterwards, Rio. We'll talk. Pentecostal circles. Bad-mouthing those who hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and those who had not from the other side, saying that we were of the devil. And we're all one what? Family of God. But we can't talk to each other, look at each other, speak with each other, or even eat with each other. But bless God, we're one. What a song came in the charismatic renewal, Gary. What was that? We are one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. We had to hold hands. The Holy Spirit comes. Jesus, in 3.5 years of being public, turned this world upside down with his miracle working power. John 20:31 says, these things are written. Before that, he says, if I was to tell you everything Jesus did, and he was making an exaggeration, I think, he said, the books would not fill the entire world. These things are written of his miracles that you might believe. God didn't just help the wise men or the shepherds. He's helping us through miracle after miracle after miracle. He's helping us to really deep down believe. When my father was lowered into the into the ground. In my heart of hearts, I knew he wasn't there. I'm almost tired of going to the funerals. The people you're going to see the funeral, they're not there. If they're Christians, they're gone. Know what I'm talking about? They're not there. They can't come to their own funeral. What kind of a deal is that? They're gone. And I go back to Mark chapter 9. When this poor father with a wretched, his son just tormented by the demonic forces. My child throws himself into the water and into fire. He said, I come to you, Jesus, for help. And I talked to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. They were 5% charging. They were 5% and charging. But my son, look at him. And when Jesus approached the son, the spirit within that child threw him down and began to foam at the mouth. And the father said, can you, if you can do something, will you do it? Strange bit of narrative in the scripture there. I don't understand it. I looked at it this week and I thought, what were you meaning? Jesus says at least in the NIV, he says, if I can. It almost sounds sarcastic. He says, if I can. I'd never known Jesus. If I can. And before that, he talks to the disciples. He says, you guys, how long will I put up with you? It almost sounds like Jesus was having a bad day. Now, we don't believe that, but it's what it almost sounds. This morning's message, in case you wonder where it is or where it's going, is that we need to respect, relate to the Holy Spirit, and we need to wait for Him and wait on Him so that He can do more than give us tongues. But He can touch us to where we'll never be the same again. I don't have time for that. Then you don't have time for the Holy Spirit. Jesus did miracles 40 days after he was crucified. 40 days he hung around town. Remember when they first came to the disciples, they were in the upper room and the Bible says the door was locked. And Jesus appeared with them. And they said, oh, this is great. Then they hooked up with Thomas. Poor old Thomas. I think he got a bad rap. The Bible calls him, what kind of Thomas? Sticker up front. Well, sure. But everybody else was in the room when Jesus was there. Thomas wasn't in the room. Would we have been any different? If we saw Jesus, we would have believed. Thomas wasn't in the room. He didn't see him and he doesn't believe. How many this morning, you haven't felt it, you don't believe it, it's not happened to you, you're not sure about miracles, you're not sure about the Holy Spirit, you're not sure about life, you're not sure about death, you're not sure about the Scripture, you will believe it when you put your finger in the side of the Lord or in His hands. Jesus said, more happy and blessed is the one who believes and who hasn't seen than the one who sees. A little bit later, they're together, and Jesus appears, and he says, Thomas, come here. Do what you are asking to do. Put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. The Bible doesn't say that Thomas did that. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that Thomas saw enough. He said, my Lord and my God. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, if you will ask me, I will show you. I will give of myself. The Bible says, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. If you take a step towards me, I will take a step towards you. I will not spoil you. I am not your candy man. I am not your genie in a lamp. I am Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. That's who He is. That's who He is. and yet he wants to come to us. And so Jesus said, stay here in Jerusalem, wait. Tarry in Jerusalem is the King James version. And so when I was a kid, we were going to tarry for the Holy Spirit. I thought, what? Who uses the word tarry? Tarry for the Holy Spirit. Good sign. The Bible's going close. There were 10 days between the time Jesus left and the time the Holy Spirit came. You ever tried to pray for 24 hours? How about 10 days? 10 days. There is tremendous value in Christian retreats because the first three quarters of the retreat you go on, you're getting all the world out of your mind, all your problems, all your kids' problems, all of the financial problems, everything out of your mind, so that the last quarter of the time you're at the retreat, you can actually focus on God. I've made some well-meaning mistakes in my life. And I've led many, 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 many people, thank God, into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when I was younger, I got so academic about the issue that I didn't understand what the tarrying was all about. The tarrying is about being touched by God. Walking out the door, not just with a glossolalia, not with a tongue, a language you can speak, but so changed and so turned inside out by the Spirit, the touch of the Almighty God. But you're never the same because he's touched you and changed you. Acts 17, 28, I think. In him we live and move and have our being. The problem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when it's really done the way it's supposed to be done, is you will be changed. It will change you. He will satisfy you to where you don't need to be satisfied by all the other stuff that hence to this point you need to be satisfied with. He will change you. Well, okay, but he better not call me to be a minister or a missionary. These were fishermen, tax collectors, positions that he touched and revolutionized. A message this morning is simply this. We must relate gently, patiently, genuinely with the Holy Spirit on our journey to becoming baptized in the Holy. The tongues that you receive is the back end of the blessing that God wants you to have. He wants to sit down and talk with you about your life. He wants to touch every area of your soul and spirit. I don't have time for that. Then you don't have time for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be changed. Then don't ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I suppose if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're changed forever. No. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't remain in Him, praying in Him, seeking, recharging yourself in a genuine way, it becomes just another religious experience. Contrary to what God desires for our life. I know you had a pastor here. Gary has all of his stolen books, don't you, Gary? Pardon? Pastor Pardon? He meant to give them back, didn't you, Gary? I know this fellowship in its beginning, the veins of this fellowship, I don't know if it's veins or whatever, whatever blood flows in, flowed richly with baptism of the Holy Spirit and a charismatic touch. And that was a few years ago. I said, and that was a few years ago. Amen? God desires us to maximize our prayer that we might reach the community God's called us to. I think it's John chapter 8, last little deal. Jesus bends down into the sand and begins to write. Well, I wasn't there. And the Bible doesn't say so. But when Jesus took this young child and he spoke to that evil spirit and he says, "Come out, depart from this child," immediately. And the child fell over as though the Bible says dead. Can I tell you, that is power. That is supernatural, Shekinah, God-given, release power that came on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, "I have to go away that you might do greater things than these, because I go to my Father." Jesus bends down, the Bible says, and lifts up the boy and stands him up on his feet. But there's somebody left laying in the sand. You can check your versions, you won't see it. Who's left laying in the sand, face down, writing in the sand? Who is that? His Father. What's he writing in the sand? He's writing, "I believe."
Hallelujah.
He says, "I believe because I saw my son." Whew. What will it take for us to believe this morning? What will it take for us to believe? Our God is a consuming fire. And he speaks to your heart this morning, and I know it. His desire is that you believe. The second desire is that you receive. Next week, I will speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit itself. Two or three people will share in this room right now who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And then the week afterwards, when I speak on the prayer language, after the service on the prayer language, I'm going to go back in the back room, and those that the Lord speak to that he would like, that you know it's your time, you know it's your desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will go in there, we will wait on the Lord, and we will pray that the Lord baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And he will. Oh, I've heard that before. No, he will. If you desire it, he desires it more. But you're not going to make me go out in front of everybody and run? No, I'm not going to. The wonderful thing about God is the Holy Spirit is he's a perfect gentleman. We can be supernaturally charged by the Holy Spirit of God and still be a body that's in control. We don't have to be a circus in order to have the anointing of God on our fellowship. Check it out. You see Jesus acting like he's some kind of three-ring circus. No, he deals with it, stands him up, and goes on his way. But oh my God, was he empowered with the same power? No, he says, "Greater things than these will you do." I believe it. I believe it because I've had a few issues straightened out in my life. I've seen a few mangers. I've seen a few stars. I believe it. So that week, we will go in there. And for those of you who sit in front of me right now and know that the Lord is speaking to you, the reason I'm bringing it up right now is I want you to wait on the Lord. Don't wait half an hour before church and say, "Boy, I'm really interested in that." The next, whatever that is, 14 days. You set aside time and you pray And you say, Lord, I don't know what he wants me to do. I'm just praying. I just want to listen to you. You just work on my heart. Just cleanse me. Do whatever you want to do. And after about 20 minutes, when you're tired of doing that, keep praying. Keep praying. You're not earning it. What you're doing is you're cleansing yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't earn it by time, but you cleanse yourself. So that when you walk in there with me, you are ready. Hallelujah. When you walk in here, you are ready. You're not 0 to 60, you're at 59. Peter's preaching to the house of Cornelius, and he's telling the same story I did this morning. And before he finished, they began speaking in tongues. Woohoo, it's really the truth. Before Peter even, he was telling about, well, in a pretty quick, we're going to go in this room. Before he finished speaking, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the language. Yes, you have a charismatic Pentecostal for one of your pastors. That's true. Or maybe for all of them, I don't know. But oh God, he's done it in such a way in my heart. And I've agonized so much over this Pentecostal stuff. God has shown me that all these things can be done beautifully, decently, and in order. And empower his body to do great and mighty things. Lord, I ask you to take these words, these seeds that I've given this morning, and deposit them in the hearts and souls of men and women. And for those you've specifically spoken to, the next 2 weeks, Lord, prepare them that they might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that their life might be changed. In name I pray. Amen. Now I just finished, Nadine, but if you'd like to. That's good enough. Stand with me, will you?